Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win! Touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop!
Oh. Now, here, Jim Coyle.
Tuesday, glad to have you aboard, glad to be here with you, and an absolutely beautiful Chamber of Commerce Day all across the state, I believe, and points further off as it just looks to be an absolutely beautiful day all around. One of those spring days that we didn't get much of this year, and I guess we better take advantage of it while we can, because you know what comes next. I don't even want to talk about the heat and humidity, but right now it is the exact opposite. It is beautiful. It is perfect outside. It's going to be, what, like a high of 72 or something like that today. I don't even know. It's getting all the way up to 78. Nice. But the humidity, no humidity. There's the thing. Appreciate the humidity holding off as I look down the week. Going to get a little warmer as the days go further, starting tomorrow into the low and then into the mid 80s, but sunshine throughout the rest of the week until the far weekend, Sunday, even Saturday, is some hint of rain coming in, but not a lot even on Sunday and Monday. 39%, the highest chance of precipitation. So it looks like the rest of your week and weekend will be pretty good. Appreciate you joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle in with you as always. Mike DeCourcy will join me. And of course, JD Campbell. And in Campbell's Corner today, a friend of the show, Trisha Whitaker. You know her from, she's all around doing everything, but also the sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Rays, in addition to many other things. Of course, being an IU grad, she still teaches a course at the media school, I believe, and things of that nature, but is always out and about doing things. Always a fun conversation, and I'm sure her and JD will get into some baseball chatter. Not much for me to talk about there right now, as my Reds are, whew, man, they're stinking up the joint. And I saw that yesterday, Ellie De La Cruz going on the 10-day DL with a strained hammy. That's not going to help the Reds any. But what are you going to do? So it is what it is. Indiana football, they have kind of hit their stride in the recruiting set of side of things. They set the tone for the month of May for 2027, and they did that while getting a decommitment from one of their top recruits, and still landed what they wanted to land. I mean, was it probably perfect? Of course, none. Are for anybody, but pretty daggone close. And they went right out and started working on replacing the decommit and one of the cornerbacks and defensive backs, I should say. But I don't think they're going to have a problem. And the funny thing is, we always see how things work out for people and for teams. And sometimes, a lot of times, things work out in the best. So, hope everybody's doing well. Welcome everybody onto the show. And those in the chatting it up in the chat room, you could always do that as well on the what the kids call the YouTube, the chat line there, people just having their own conversations sometime. But Indiana was set up to have a major summer, but it needed to capitalize. And that is exactly what it did by landing 6 commitments in May alone, including its highest rated commit in Edge Miles Smith. With the expected class to be between the middle teens, that'll put about a third of Indiana's class pledging to the Hoosiers last month. In the month of May. You talked about the month of May being of importance in Indiana, baby. Well, that continues over. You've got Cignetti in the pace car, the Indianapolis 500. Big month of May here in Indiana. But that continued for the Indiana football team. May really jump-started Indiana's expected class to come to the end of the summer for 2027, as they're getting ahead of things. And that is less of a reliance in the future if you hold on to these guys on the transfer portal, on building from within. And while every team wants and tries to do that, you're also going to lose some of these guys. I mean, there's just the fact of life that all these guys are not going to be at Indiana probably 3 years from now, that which would be at their peak, at their height. And that's what matters. And I think that winning, and of course, when somebody improves, you've always got to worry about poaching and all of that stuff. But that's where these new rules, if they eventually get passed, which will be the new rules will be the old rules, which is kind of funny. Some tweaking there, of course, but the inability to just transfer willy-nilly. I love using that phrase, willy-nilly. Justin, I use that just for you, buddy. Old producer, I think that I used that once and he just laughed and enjoyed the heck out of that. Not one you hear every day, but Indiana football just hitting its stride as far as recruiting goes, and that is another positive to the fruits of the spoils of what they have accomplished. While some prospects have shut down their recruitments, others have seen shifts in their recruitments following the visits to Indiana, most notably with Rivals 300 prospect Roman Igwabuke, Trey Segura, and Davion Jones. All three visited in the first weekend of visits for Indiana in May, and now Indiana is trending for Igwabuke and Segura while making a big push in the lead group for Jones. Getting visits early in the recruitment period offers a lot of perks, and it's setting the stage for the additional visits. Indiana was able to get notable prospects on campus early and now have really made things interesting for weeks to come. This is something that they just weren't able to do in the past. They weren't even able to get these guys on campus, for one thing, and to now get them in for a visit, to sit them down, to talk to them, for the position coaches to be in the meetings with, whether it's the defensive coordinator or Brian Haynes or the offensive coordinator Mike Shanahan, along with Kurt Cignetti and position coaches. That's, and they show them, hey, here's where we want to use you. Here's where we need you. Here's what we would like to see. Here's how we want to develop you. They give them the plans of what they want to help mold their future. Very, very important. And that is always important, especially now. These guys look at every bit of this as a business as far as propelling themselves. They want to get to the next level. I mean, everybody has to have that belief. Is that realistic? No, of course not. But even the guys that aren't going to make it, they have to believe they're going to make it. If you don't believe in yourself, who the hell else is? So they have to have that belief and that drive and that desire. Doesn't matter what sport we're talking about here, to get to that next level. If you don't have players like that, you don't have the right kinds of players. If you don't have employees like that, you don't have the right kinds of employees. It's the same across business. Do you want somebody who just wants to be satisfied with sitting there and hitting some keys? And in some positions, maybe that's perfect. But most people want people with drive, and that is crosses all boundaries. Speaking of crossing boundaries, we're almost ready for a break. We'll take a breath here for a second. And see, I mentioned my Reds are stinking it up. They're in last place. Not much has changed overnight. And LA De La Cruz on the DL. But let's see. Yeah, I mentioned Indiana looking to wrap up that cornerback position. You can find all of that at thehoosier.com, where I saw that they have a 50% off special right now. So I'm telling you, man, that is where the inside intel comes from. That is where the breaking news comes from. Basketball, football, On Three is the way to go. And it's about $5 a month. Plus, you get a free subscription to The Athletic. So it's like a two for one, man. So if you're a sports fan, there you go. I know people don't like to subscribe to things, but those guys do a hell of a job. They come on here. They help us out with a lot of the information. So please support them. Go to thehoosier.com. Get a subscription. You can always cancel it, but I'm telling you, once you get it, you're going to enjoy the hell out of it for what it provides you. Just go to thehoosier.com. Get 50% off today. Mike DeCourcy going to join us next. Looking forward to that and more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this beautiful Tuesday. And we just made it better with Mike DeCourcy joining us. Well, I'm always just on hand for the segues, man.
That was awesome.
I'm a pro at that. I can't do anything else worth a snot, but I'm a segue meister. And I don't know if it's the lighting, but you look like you have just been getting some, not a ton of sun, but just you've been getting outside, because I look pale as a cat to the ghost.
I think it's lighting.
I haven't been getting outside. But look, just look fresh and healthy.
I'm neither.
Must be the impending retirement that is just beaming from within inside.
Oh, it's got to be the 20 hours I spent the last 4 days, three of the last 4 days, spending at least 5 hours in the car, driving to North Carolina for my nephew's graduation, high school graduation party. So it was great to see family, wonderful group of people down there. But man, my wife and I decided to drive to North Carolina for the first time because
where in North Carolina?
The Raleigh area, Raleigh, Cary, that area.
Okay, so you took 60. Well, no, you're coming from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So
well, that's not that bad a drive, was it?
Oh, well, when you don't do that a lot, my wife said, well, we should drive because the airfares weren't great. And she has time now because she's retired and I'm getting there. Right. So took the weekend and decided for the first time to do it. And my wife, by the time we got down there, said, we're never doing this again. We're flying every time from now on.
How long of a drive was it?
Well, the thing is, the construction traffic was horrendous. It should have been 8 hours each way.
Come back to Indiana first.
Well, we're
a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Construction problem.
Oh yeah. West Virginia was a
Chicago first.
West Virginia was a nightmare. I mean, we lost 2 hours in traffic in West Virginia, and so from now on, Jim, we're gonna stick with flying.
You see, that drives. There's nothing more that drives me insane. I don't mind, you know, if I've got a 7 hour drive. Hey, I know I've got it. I can deal with that. But I'm going to do that 7 hour drive. I'm going to do it in 640. I guarantee you. And if it goes to 8 or 9, I'm livid.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of those guys that you probably don't want to travel with, because when I'm stopping for gas, when the pump is in the car, I'm inside using the restroom, and I'm trying to beat the pump back out before it fills up. And so I treat it like an Indy car or NASCAR.
Absolutely.
Out, baby.
7.2 seconds, man. In and out.
Yeah, I certainly try. But there's nothing worse than road construction. And I don't recall a time in my lifetime that I-65, somewhere usually around the West Lafayette area, has not always and needed to be under construction. But my only question is, why the hell are they not putting a third lane in there? My God.
Yes, we are now confirmed Flyers, but did get a chance to see a lot of sports over the weekend, and even with all the family obligations, got a chance to watch the U.S. men play their first of two exhibitions.
Friendly against Senegal, nice win. They're a top 15 team, right?
Yeah, they're highly ranked, and the U.S. did very well against them, and pretty much dominated the game. Did have some lapses there, allowed two goals, but played pretty well. San Antonio beats Oklahoma City in the game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. So now we have a final series starting tomorrow night. All the people in Carolina were really excited about tonight when they'll open the Stanley Cup Finals in Carolina for the first time in 20 years, I think it is.
So, how crazy is that? We're having a Stanley Cup Finals in North Carolina
and Vegas against Vegas. Yeah, I mean, like, natural.
Well, Vegas stopped surprising me year one when they became a damn team and win the Stanley Cup. I mean, who the hell does that?
Yeah, I thought you were referring to the natural icy conditions in Vegas and Raleigh. So I was going off of that.
There's that. Well, it could be, you know, what, Tampa is Lightning?
Tampa and the Florida Panthers down in Miami won the last couple. So,
the popularity of those teams, no matter where they are, is kind of surprising to me. I mean, I don't think, but a lot of the people in Florida are Northerners.
That is true. That is true. They are transplants, which is why, honestly, during the regular season, when the Panthers have home games, a lot of the fans that are in the stands are fans of the teams that the Panthers are playing. The community has rallied around their playoff runs the last few years, and usually it's been a relative home and ice advantage. But in the middle of the regular season, there's a lot, like if the Penguins are playing down there, there's a lot of Pittsburgh jerseys in the crowd because of the number of people from here that are transplanted, snowbirds, that kind of thing.
And wow, I love it, but I'm not somebody who follows the NHL. I mean, I hear it. I know what's going on, but I'm not, I just don't have time to add that to my menu of other things to do. But I pay attention to it, but I want to hear the Oilers or the, you know, Edmonton, which I don't even know if Edmonton even exists anymore.
They do. Absolutely. They were in the finals.
I want to hear the Bruins.
Yes.
The Red Hawks, the Black Hawks, rather. I want to hear some old school names in these NHL finals.
That's fair. They got to do a better job. That's what it comes down to. Toronto, I think the last time the Maple Leafs were in the Stanley Cup Finals was like 1964 or something like that, and they're an original six team, and they haven't made it back to that level in that long. Pretty amazing. So I understand what you're making, but if you want old school, Jim, you go to the NBA, and tomorrow night you'll see the New York Knicks back in the finals for the first time since 99 and with a chance to win it. I mean, when they went 99, everybody knew that was not going to last long. It was just a question of whether they might get one. That was the Latrell Sprewell year. This time, they're going in with a legit chance to win it. They've been rolling through the playoffs, and it's a terrific team. And it just the whole Jalen Brunson mystery, and I don't mean the mystery of why he's so good. I mean the mystery of why so many in the basketball establishment refuse to acknowledge how good he has been from the time he was a junior in high school. I tell this story, Jim. I was standing in, I think it was around 2014, could have been 2015, somewhere in there. I was at the U19 World Cup trials. They might have called it the World Championships then, whatever they were calling it. It was the U19's World Championship. And there was a lot of really good young players. Jason Tatum was one of them, players like that. And there were coaches in the room. College coaches saying, oh, if only they had a point guard. And Dick Weiss and I, Hoops Weiss from the Philadelphia Daily News and then the New York Daily News, legendary basketball writer, we're standing there and we both talked to different people who said the same thing. And we're both saying to each other, why don't they realize how good Jalen Brunson is? How can they not figure this out? And eventually they did. And Jalen was the starting point guard on that team. And they won the world championship. He was one of the few veterans. It was one of the younger U.S. teams because the high school kids were so talented, and they won that. And then Jalen goes to Villanova, and he wins two championships in 3 years. And then with that on his resume and National College Player of the Year, 31 teams, I believe was the number, passed him in the NBA draft. Couldn't be a first-round pick, Jim, because he was only 6 feet tall or whatever he is, 6'1". Couldn't be a first-round pick if you saw some of the names of the players that were taken ahead of him. It's like a laugh riot. Here's this guy who is an all-star and the best player on an NBA finalist, and last year the best player on a conference finalist, et cetera. And he was passed in favor of Kevin Knox, the 10th player taken in the draft that year. Players like that. Just amazing how much the people who are paid a lot of money to select the right players could pass on Jalen Brunson. And then the Mavs luck into selecting him in the second round, and he's really good for them, and they let him walk. There was a thing on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, or last week maybe, about like it was a picture of Jalen and Luka Doncic in Mavs uniform standing next to one another having a conversation on the floor. And it's like, how would you like to be the organization to let go of both these guys?
Hey, I wish we could just, you could probably write a book on the missed calls on draft day of all sports. Put it all together. Put the basketball together. You know, Michael Jordan getting chosen when he was chosen. You can just go down the line. Football, Tom Brady, a sixth round draft pick. It could go on and on. Baseball, gee, who knows? Because they got 2,000 rounds of draft pick.
It's harder. It definitely is.
It is nuts, but this is a fun, not, it's just a weird time of sports, the month of June and July, because it's a complete hodgepodge. You've got NHL finals going on. You've got the NBA finals going on. You've got college team basketball teams just now starting their summer workouts. Yesterday, preparing for whatever, if they have trips coming up next month, we've got football media days for all of the conferences next month. And then of course we know what follows that. Football's here. So it's a quick and nonstop sports season, and even the you've got still the AAU circuit, not like it used to be. It is, man, this used to be, it was someplace you had to be and all that. It's no longer the case, which I think is a great thing. Oh my gosh. Anything like that, that we can eliminate. I saw something yesterday and I'm like, boy, you know, I'm getting tired of having to worry about reposting and paying attention to what this 17-year-old, soon to be millionaire, how he's dangling these schools along and all of that. And I'm like, because I'll be honest with you, I don't care. I mean, I'll care when it's done, but all the song and the dance, it's not for me, bro. It's not for me. But hey, I know some people enjoy it, and it's part of the process now, Mike.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, I used to be for 20 years or so a constant on the circuit. I would do. Yeah, absolutely. I would do the Nike camp back when that was a thing, and then it morphed into the Peach Jam being the thing that replaced that. And then I would do the Vegas weeks down in it, what used to be the Big Time, and then the various replacements for that. And after the when the pandemic sort of shut that down, and I have not been able to really get back into that. And what's interesting is we've had years like a year ago where there were a lot of great players out there that you could see, obviously. I mean, what we're going to see in the draft in 10 days, 12 days, whatever it is, 15. I forget where in June we are. It's June 2nd, so it's actually about 3 weeks away, the NBA draft. But you're going to see a ton of the players who would have been on the circuit a year ago selected in the first round, selected in the first dozen picks or so. So there were a lot of great players. But if you were not on the circuit last year, you didn't miss much. I mean, there just aren't very many. There aren't going to be very many great freshmen in college basketball this year. And those that are will be probably more along the lines of Keaton Wagler. I don't necessarily mean coming from two stars or whatever he was to first team, second team, third team All-America, but more guys who would be surprises as opposed to a year ago when we all knew that there were fabulous freshmen in college basketball, that A.J. DeBonsa was going to be great, that Darren Peterson was going to be special, Caleb down at North Carolina. We knew Cameron Boozer. We knew those guys were going to be great. And there's just not that level of excellence in this freshman class. I've seen Teron Stokes, who's the number one player. He played for the U.S. in last year's Under-19 World Cup, and they were champions. And Teron was a nice complimentary piece, but I did not see greatness in him. There was a huge recruiting battle between Kansas and Kentucky to get him, but I think he's a fine player and will be a fine player in college, and maybe a fine player who works himself into something more than that in the NBA, but I don't see extraordinary talent there, and he's the number one guy.
Well, you mentioned Kentucky, and boy, oh boy, did they finally, Mark Pope has been out at the river and throwing that fishing line in there for weeks and weeks, and boy, did he snag him a big one. We'll talk about that on the other side. The great Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Fox, and Big Ten Networks are with us. Stick around. No flipping. We've got more coming up on the other side. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Glad to be with you. And happiest of all to have Mike DeCourcy from Fox Big Ten and the Sporting News for another 6 weeks, baby, and counting. I think it was 7 weeks last week, right?
No, yesterday I counted out on Sunday. It was 7 weeks. On Sunday, it was 7 weeks from Sunday. So.
Six and a half weeks. Yeah. We'll be positive. We'll cut it down. 6.5 weeks, even though it'll be 6.5 tomorrow, but who's counting? Besides you. no. But seriously, knowing that that's coming, and I know you're going to be so happy about the added freedom, but there has to be a big part of it that you'll miss as well, I would imagine.
It just feels weird, especially I haven't worked in an office, Jim, for nearly 30 years. Sporting News, I've always been a satellite, is what we called them back in the day. And I have been from the time I was hired. That was September of 2000. And for the last couple of years that I was at the Cincinnati Inquirer, they kind of never liked the fact that I worked from home most of the time, but they never gave me a desk either. So, you know, I mean, it was that there was that. So
I worked most of the time. You're doing your work out there, and it's a lot more accessible at home. It's quiet. Yeah. You don't have to worry about things.
The first 10 years I was in the business at the Pittsburgh Press, I spent half my time like trying to fend off people who wanted to talk about Penn State football and things like that. Like, and while I'm trying to do my work, they wanted to take little breaks from their work by talking to me about their favorite team, and it wasn't productive for me. And hey, when I was at the Commercial Appeal and the Memphis Tigers basketball, well, they were the biggest team in town. They were like the Yankees before the Grizzlies came to town. The Tigers were the Yankees of Memphis. And we had our own separate floor at the sport at the Commercial Appeal, and people would still come up to talk about the Tigers. So I don't miss that, but I do miss the regular interaction with my colleagues. So that interaction is mostly through Microsoft Teams and that sort of thing. But I think that's the part that will be weird, to be disconnected from that. It feels a little odd to be to know that I won't be engaged in that on a regular basis, that I won't be part of our enterprise team anymore. That it does feel weird.
And obviously they're going to miss you, because you certainly miss someone who has a wealth of contacts, first of all, a wealth of knowledge of how a conference works, who does what in a conference. There's nothing that replaces when you can walk up to someone that most people have to go through somebody just to get a message to, that's hugely different. And that is the case with people like you. I mean, you can just walk right up and talk to a conference commissioner, and boy, if I did that, I'd have security all over me, pulling me away, locking me up.
But the thing is, Jim, the conference commissioner has to go through somebody to get to me. You know, they have to go through my assistant. No, I'm just kidding. I've just made that up. I don't have an assistant. Never have.
Absolutely.
The college athletics community has been a great place to spend my career. It's been most of what I've done. I mean, over the last few weeks, I've been thinking about things I did cover and didn't cover. And like I did the NBA finals, but I did one game one, and Stanley Cup finals, I did one game one. And that's it. I never did a World Series or Super Bowl. But then the chart goes up a little bit when you talk about Final Fours. And it goes from like one game to 36 Final Fours. So that's been where I've been. You know, that's been my space. And I've been proud of it. And certainly going through some interesting transitions over the course of the last couple of years. I still don't know that there's really great solutions out there for how to fix this. But I don't like the idea that because certain conferences have become more successful, that they need to be restrained so that you can raise the level of the other conferences. I mean, that ability to negotiate one's own contracts has been in existence for 40 years, Jim. I mean, the Supreme Court decision on the Georgia-Oklahoma case was 40 years ago. And only in the last decade or so have two conferences been successful enough to separate themselves. And that shouldn't be a fault. And it's not like the NFL and the NBA. I mean, those leagues are smaller. There are nearly as many teams in the SEC and Big Ten combined as there are in most of the major. There are actually more than in most of the major leagues we have. So you can't compare it and say, well, that's what you need to have the competition. They're just not the same. They're not the same enterprises. So I don't think that that they're comparable in that sense. And I think that the idea that that you need to have a more collective concept in college athletics from an economic standpoint is really about trying to get your share of what they have. And it's not like what they have is so much that they are now, you know, building private islands. I mean, they have enough to make their deal work, their deals work. And I don't think that the idea that those leagues have been successful and the Big 12 and ACC have been less successful is a reasonable circumstance that you are a reasonable I think the word I'm looking for is accelerant to change how they operate. I don't believe that's the impetus that they should have. It should be about trying to make college athletics work for everybody, and that includes the athletes themselves. I mean, if Milan Moncilovic is worth $6 million, and I mean that's the reported figure. I don't know if it's right. I never.
Dude, they would have paid him $16 million.
Yeah,
they were in such dire straits.
But if that's the number for him, then that should be the number for him. It shouldn't be, well, you know, I mean, nobody from State Farm is signing you up, so you're not worth $6 million. Somebody's willing to pay him $6 million if that figure is correct. Let's say it's $4 million. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's still a lot of money. If somebody's willing to pay him that, then he's worth that. It shouldn't be constrained any more than if you want to pay Kirby Smart $13 million, you should be allowed, and you are. It's your money. I don't think that's a good way to spend it, but it's your money. But nobody's telling you can't do it. And yet with Momcilovic, they want to say, no, that's not right. That's pay for play or whatever. Hey, you want him. He's worth it because you want him. So who cares what you call the money?
Yeah, because I promise you, what is the kid that's from the Congo, but from Indiana that went to Kansas. I'm missing his
Lori
name.
Lori
Badunga. I promise you, he's not far off that. This was a while ago that he said, right when Louisville was chasing Momcilovic.
Yeah, that's a great point to bring up because, oh, they're losing money down there. Well, I mean, hold on a second here. You're paying Flory this much money. No one's forcing you to do that or whatever the number is. Let's say it's not five. Let's say it's three. I don't care. It's still a lot of money, but you're complaining that you're losing money on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you're building a basketball team that's paid this.
It has to be the highest payroll in college basketball because I was already thinking that with what they have, and I know allegedly what they paid to land that duo, they've got several others. And if they were even chasing him, I'm like, how the hell do you even have the money to chase this dude now?
But so then why are you the ones complaining? That doesn't make any sense.
They lost.
Well, but they didn't lose Flory. I mean, they got him, but they're complaining about the economic situation. And you're doing this, and then on the other hand, you're complaining that you're not making money. Well, then you must not be doing something right. Then somewhere along the line, you did something wrong, or you're doing something wrong. I don't want to hear colleges that are stepping forward and spending that kind of money complain about spending that kind of money. This $20.5 million of the revenue share, and you feel like that should be all you spend on what? On 80 football players and 15 basketball players and 15 women's basketball players just to start, and that doesn't even get into maybe you're good at baseball or wrestling or whatever. I just don't buy it. I mean, I hear here in Pittsburgh complaints about the ability to sustain their programs, but they just built $150 million facility for their non-revenue sports. Well, nobody forced you to do that. In an era when compensation was already coming, you went out and you spent $150 million so you have nicer places to play. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And you're blaming your decision-making on the marketplace, and in some cases, you're blaming your decision making to an extent on the ones who've been successful in that area.
Kurt Cignetti and Darren DeVries were at Huber's down in Southern Indiana a week ago, and several times one of the reporters, not several, but he was obviously writing a story in this direction, what was asking about the long-term ability of these numbers continuing to go up and playoffs. And Kurt Cignetti has just long said, said, hey, man, that's not my lane. I'm whatever the conference says. But then I asked him something completely different, and he actually answered the question that the guy was answering. But here's what Kurt said.
Kevin, coach, you don't have to look down here, but how important has that been? Because there's a lot of success that seems to be just generating.
Yeah, we've had, and we got another one coming up, and it's.
I was just asking him about recruiting, how it's going.
The market is pretty expensive, scary. So I guess in relative to your question, I think players should get paid, but something was going to have to be done in the next 12 to 24 months, or universities aren't going to be able to handle this. College football won't exist the way we're going right now.
When you were at the.
And so I find that, I guess the next question comes then, if this has to be rectified, which I don't disagree in a way, but as do college coach salaries. We're talking, and he's one of, but guys that are making, how many are making over $10 million a year?
Right.
I mean, it's a list that's got to go 10 deep.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, I often think about 2009, I think it was, when Texas was really good in football, and you looked at 2009 and they had won the championship and all of a sudden they come out of nowhere and hand Mack Brown a $5 million a year contract. It wasn't like there was any great competition for him, but they wanted to reward him for his success and all of that. And honestly, Jim, I knew that day that this day was coming. Like I could feel the ground shake when they gave him $5 million. Cause when guys were making $1, $2, $3 million, $3 million was the highly paid guy, the Mack Brown type. When they were making that, you could see it. Like it there was some logic to it. They were doing a job that was very difficult to succeed in, and it didn't last long for a lot of them. And so being compensated at a high level was important because they might not be at that high level for very long. And then when all of a sudden, just out of the blue, Brown jumped from three something to five, it was like, oh, everything's going to change now. And I can't say that I knew it was going to be this, but I knew that was a seismic moment in college athletics, because there was no reason he needed to be making $5 million a year. There wasn't competition for him. He wasn't going anywhere. He was the head coach at Texas, but they had the money, so they spent it on him. And that's been the problem all along, is that college athletics got into the business of having to hide money, not launder it, but spend the money that they were generating. And so that's why you saw all these facilities built, and that's why you saw staffs expand, and you saw the compensation for coaches go quickly from that $5 million to $10 million in very short order. And all of that was the result of all this revenue that they were generating, and they were supposed to be nonprofits. Well, then all of a sudden, when you get into the area of having to compensate players in some way, well, then it becomes too much of a drain on the business. Well, I mean, that's the way, that was the way you built this business, was on compensating everybody else. And so the problem is the way you constructed the industry, not the fact that the athletes have to be compensated. And
oh, exactly.
And so I have very little sympathy in that regard. I can understand what Kurt's saying, that there needs to be some constraints or some redirection of this. but negotiate it. That everybody's trying to get around. We're now, what, this is 2026. It started to really percolate in around 2023. So we're 3 years in now to this, and no one has lifted a finger to try to create a negotiating circumstance. Nothing. Trying all through all that time to get some bill through Congress that will to put you in a position where you don't have to negotiate instead of working, because it is complicated. So if you spent those 3 years trying to figure out how do we negotiate, who would we negotiate with, where would what would our starting point be, what would our goals be with negotiation and all the rest of that, who would be compensated, all these different things. If they spent 3 years trying to figure that out instead of 3 years trying to get out of negotiating, maybe they'd be somewhere now.
I saw that, and of course, the only school that has a softball player, and I'm not trying to, you know, point or single out softball, but Texas Tech has a softball player making seven figures.
Yes.
Good for her.
Yes.
But how on God's green earth can that pass muster through this CSC for softball? There's no way that that value is there under any circumstance that softball can even think about. I mean, the entire conference isn't bringing in $1 million on softball.
Well, here's my response to that is less concern about that than the fact that the athletic department, that's their principal donor, Cody Campbell, is the one who's complaining loudest. And I mean literally, because he did a whole series of television spots, I guess you'd call them commercials, television advertisements, over the course of the football season complaining about this circumstance. Well, you're as big in
antagonizer.
You're as much involved in the way it is as anybody.
Oh,
you just don't like it because your involvement in it is at a disadvantage to other conferences where they, in football and basketball, men's basketball, women's basketball, they have an advantage over you because they have more television revenue. So you don't like the differential. It's not that you're bothered that athletes are getting compensated. You just don't like that your university doesn't make as much money. And that's
what I wish we had more time, because then I would go off on the fact that not only that, but Texas Tech is now the school that is trying to get Brendan Sorsby back being eligible, of all people, of all things. It's like, dude, this is why we're in this mess. You all keep trying to change their own rules. You refuse to follow them. But what's up next for you, man? We'll pick that up next week, I guess.
Yeah, I am working on some projects relative to the World Cup. I got one done, and then I'm working on another now. I feel like I have to say something about baseball and the salary cap, because it's reached epic proportions of misinformation, and I feel like I might have to step into that again. So we'll see.
We'll need it, baby. And yes, I agree with Five Lefts. Watch the women's softball tournament, man. It's fun and exciting because it's so quick. There's action. There is action every.
Here's how much action there is in women's softball. I had the end of the, I think it was Texas Tech Oklahoma game on last night. So they're in the bottom of the seventh, and I'm folding laundry, and it's tied up, and Texas Tech is at the bat, and I take some folded laundry in from my family room through one door into the bedroom to put it in a chest of drawers, come back in, and they're celebrating the victory. Like, that's how fast it happens in softball, man. It's like that. So there is action.
And college baseball reached the super regional, so we'll have more of that to talk about next week as well. The great Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Fox and Big Ten Networks. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. That is going to wrap it up for this segment. JD Campbell is going to join us next for Campbell's Corner. Trisha Whitaker will be joining us as well, friend of the show. Hope your day is going lovely, because it's exactly what it is outside. I hope you get out and enjoy some of it. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Tuesday. Happy to have you along on this absolutely beautiful day. And boy, we couldn't make it any more beautiful if we tried, as Trisha Whitaker joins us in Campbell's Corner with JD, of course. How are both of you? How's JD? I'll get to you. But special guest, Trisha, she's been with us before. Are you back down in Florida right now?
No, I'm actually in Indiana right now, Jim.
All righty. Well, the hair's going. It looks like it's got the Florida sunshine in it. And
sunshine from my garden streaming in. It's a beautiful day in Indiana right now.
Absolutely gorgeous. JD, how are you, sir?
Well, coming off a very tough loss last night in the sectional final at Bloomington South. We were up 2-0 in the sixth. They tied it up. And ended up losing in eight. But I will tell you this, that's why this is a unbelievably underrated great time of year, with when you have all of the different things going on with the NCAA baseball, with high school baseball, with softball. The major leagues are in full swing. And, of course, we got our man OG in the NBA Finals starting tomorrow. So there's a lot going on. And Trisha, I want to thank you first for coming on, because, Trisha is one of the first people. And I look at all the different students that have come through the IU Media School. Zach Osterman, Trisha, Courtney Cronin. People like that I got to work with early on in my career. And I tell you, this lady, when I used to go to Tampa, my son lived there for 10 years, went to college at the University of Tampa, and we'd go to a Rays game every time. And she took time out of her day to come up to where we were sitting, and we got to spend time. And Trisha, thank you so much for that. And I want to start off with this. Your career, you busted to get, you started off in Green Bay with the Packers, which that you could probably spend a whole show on spending the time. Is that when Aaron Rodgers was there?
That's when Aaron Rodgers was there. Randall Cobb, my first day on the job, JD, was covering a playoff game at Candlestick, the old 49ers stadium, covering Aaron Rodgers and Colin Kaepernick in the playoffs. First day on the job, right out of college.
There you go. But then you came home and you were with Chris Hagan at Fox 59, and you guys were always so great and loyal to us in terms of covering. We just could never find you good spots to sit, could we?
Sometimes it would be by the floor. Sometimes it would be up high, but that's okay. We loved covering you guys. And JD, you put up with me when I was a student, So I was a young, 20-year-old student, had no idea what I was doing. And you were so kind to me, and you would always help me with interviews with Coach Crean or whoever it was. At that time, it was like Christian Watt for that group. So kind to me. So it goes both ways. You helped me when I first started my career, and I'll never forget that.
Jim, here's a little known fact about Trisha and I. We shared, and I don't know if Trisha remembers this, one of my first couple of years here in Bloomington, we shared dinner. Not together, but her family and my family happened to be in the same Japanese or Chinese, whatever restaurant it was where they cooked the stuff.
Wait right a minute. There. Was that in Bloomington?
Yes.
How do you know they even have that in Bloomington, man?
It's where the FedEx is now. That place right there. I'm forever grateful, again, for our friendship I'm just proud of all the people that are still in the business. I saw Jeff Keg last night at our sectional, but Trisha, I've got to ask you this. there is a changing landscape in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And that change is that you're seeing, you know, entities like Apple TV and Netflix and Prime, Amazon Prime.
Well, and she's part of it. Aren't you on one of the networks?
Apple TV, yes, sir.
She's on every Friday. You know, it's like a new episode every week of something. But and you also work for the regional sports networks, which are kind of under some, you know, some change there, which you know of, and I'm sure you have a lot of friends that are impacted.
Yeah.
What do you think the future, and how well has the Apple TV broadcast been accepted, and what are the responses you get from people that tell you, wow, I watched you and this was great?
Yeah, you know, JD, it's a really good question. It's a topic of conversation everywhere right now. You know, you have a couple sides to it. One side is the fans get very upset that they can't find the game on their regional sports network, right? And I do understand that. But the other side is the game is growing. Whether or not they want to talk about that aspect of it too. The game is growing. And, you know, as a byproduct of that, the game is going to be on Apple TV. It is going to be on Netflix. It is going to be on Peacock. It is going to be on YouTube. And that's just how it's going to go. And fans can get upset about it, that they can't find the broadcast, but it's not going to change. That's the future. So the quicker that people kind of accept that and understand that, the better it's going to be, right? And I think it's, again, like I said, I truly believe it's good for the game. I understand a lot of people had some mixed opinions on the Netflix broadcast when they did opening day with the Yankees in San Francisco. I understand that. But at the end of the day, having Major League Baseball on Netflix is good for the game. It grows the game. And so, you know, and the other thing is, it makes money for the teams, and it makes money for the owners, and it makes money for Major League Baseball, which as a byproduct can be good for the league. And the fans complaining that they can't find it on Apple TV or on NBC or on Peacock or whatever, you're not going to win. You're not going to win that battle. And that's just how it's going to go. And I understand that it's frustrating, but at the same time, it's also like, okay, a lot of people have Apple TV. A lot of people have Netflix. It's really not as big of a deal as people think it is. Once you know where to find it, you're fine. And it's just the new landscape. That's how it is. And the regional sports networks, JD, like you mentioned, they're in a tough spot, right? But the ones that have been taken over by Major League Baseball, they're not in a tough spot as much anymore. Before, the regional sports networks were owned by a lot of people who didn't know anything about baseball or sports or TV, to be honest. And they are in a better spot now. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying there aren't things that, you know, need to be adjusted, but, that's just how it goes. And the landscape changed, and it's going to continue to change. The landscape for television has changed since the beginning of television. It's going to continue to change. That's just how it's going to go.
And that's the thing, in my opinion, people, sometimes me, don't like change. Don't want change. We like it the way it is. But especially if it causes us to take another step or a step that we just don't want to. And I get it. But at the end of the day, it's tough. This is
what you said.
It's just how it's going to be. So you can complain all day long, but it's not going to change anything.
It isn't. It is not. It will not change.
No, it's very reminiscent of when I moved here in 2007 and the creation of the Big Ten Network. And you would have thought the state of Indiana was going to riot because those games were not on Channel 4 anymore. Yep. They were moving to the BTN.
Guess what? Now everybody has Big Ten Network and people love Big Ten Network. It's like, it's just how it goes. And I remember too, like there were a lot of, like, do you remember when Thursday Night Football came about and people were like, this is stupid. We only want to watch Monday nights. And guess what? Everybody watches Thursday Night Football now. Like, sorry, you're not going to win this battle. Like, as much as you try. And I do understand. My dad has trouble sometimes finding the games that he wants to watch. And I understand that. I do. I have trouble sometimes finding games I want to watch. But once they figure it out and they get used to it, guess what? You don't hear a complaint again because they know how to find it. It's just,
I was looking for something the other day. I kept going through. I have YouTube TV, and but there's other things on there on the Fire Stick, but it was on Prime, and it took me maybe 15 minutes to realize, oh crap, it's on Prime. So now I gotta get out and go through that. I didn't enjoy the Prime experience this month as much. And I think that's another thing. We're used to how our provider does things and how the ease it is. And it's something different. We got to learn to do something different. And again, if I wanted to watch it, that's what I got to do.
Exactly.
You know, Jim, I'll give you a hint here. Just go to the schedule bar on ESPN.com and it usually tells you where the game is.
Do they tell all, even like that? If it's on Prime or something like that?
Yeah.
I know they would usually do that with networks.
Well, but, yeah. Yeah, they would, they'll do that, but
I hated when it's on another network. I'm so glad we're past that, it seems. That's the one good thing with the differences. More conferences and whatnot, or whatever the case, they're more apt to tell fans, hey, that's going to be on such and such.
The other thing, Jim and JD, is like, it's really like, once you explain it to people, it's like, okay, if you just get DirecTV, everything is there. Like, you get DirecTV, you can have Apple TV, you can have Amazon Prime, you can have the MLB app. It's all right there. Like, yes, I understand there are extra subscriptions that you might need for X, Y, and Z, but it actually is all right there if you get the right kind of service.
And the smart thing is, if it's, and Peacock doesn't want to hear me say this, but let's say you're getting Peacock for IU sports. I don't know how many, if any, football games they have. So that's probably going to come down to basketball only. Get the damn subscription in December and canceling it in March.
And guess what? Both parties win. Like, Peacock wins because they get paid, whatever, $50 for 5 months, and you win because you get your games, and then you don't have the games anymore because you don't need them. I mean, I get it. I understand it's frustrating, but that's just how it is.
Problem solved.
There we go. And Peacock does have football, by the way, and they do a really good job on Saturday nights. A lot of that.
Robert Cheney is on there for basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, Cal gets to Tom, I think, has been on it too. So they,
what is it, Tom on? He's man. He's omnipresent.
He's in the NBA too. He's in the NBA. So,
well, he's a great analytic mind. I mean, he really is able to take that in and just see things that the normal people like me doesn't know to look for. And that's, you know, we try to learn that, but that's just innate for him.
It's true.
Yeah. Trisha, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit because, you seem to have some of the same tendencies and mindset that I have in terms of you really like to give back. And, you know, you as a teacher, I've taught for like 10 years. I don't know if I'm going to teach again or not. Don't care. I just, you know, and so you had spent several years in Tampa, which meant you spent the winters here with your family and your church life and, you know, you're singing and all that great stuff that people may not know, but they ought to find out. You know what I mean? But I want to ask you, because this is one of the biggest things for me in my career, the grind of travel. And what is it like to be embedded with a Major League Baseball team and the Major League Baseball travel? And then I saw you get a few champagne baths.
Yeah, many.
You know, what did they do?
Are you kidding me? She enjoys every one of those.
I do. I love them.
Yeah. Do your eyes really burn if the champagne gets in your eyes?
Very much so. Oh, the champagne's the worst. The beer's not as bad as the champagne, but the champagne's the worst. But like, It is so much fun. A lot of people ask me, they're like, do you actually enjoy it? It seems like it's mean that they're doing that. I'm like, what? I'm like, we've worked way too hard all season long not to be included in this type of celebration. So, no, I love every second of it. But you're right, JD, the travel can be a lot. When I was with the Tampa Bay Rays for 6 years, I would travel with the team, and then I would also travel on the weekends for Apple TV. So I would go about 2.5 weeks sometimes without being home. And I remember a couple of times I would count. I'm like, I've been on 6 flights this week, and I've been in like 4 different cities. And while I did love it, like I really loved my time with the Rays, it was just time to like take a breather, you know, like, and just do Apple TV and teach, because I was just running myself into the ground. And I was like, you know what, I need to prioritize my personal life a little bit more than I have been. And so now I get the best of both worlds, and I've honestly built my dream schedule. So like during the summer, I just do Apple TV. And then during the week, I just get to hang out with my family and be an aunt with my nieces and nephews and all that stuff. And then during the school year, I teach. And then that allowed me to also follow IU football on their national championship run. I didn't miss a single game. So like, and then I started a podcast with Sydney Parrish, and it's just been honestly the best transition into a little bit less busy of a travel schedule. But yeah, the grind of a major league season is unlike anything else. I mean, it's far too many games in my opinion, but that's also never going to change either, probably, because the players don't want to get paid less and nobody wants to make less money. And no matter what you say, 162 games makes more money than 130 games. It just does. Even if there's only like 7,000 fans in the stands or something like that. It really does. So it's a grind, but I loved my experience with it for 6 years. I'm glad to have the grind down to just one game a week.
Yeah, and again, that's the big thing that people maybe didn't understand, and they don't understand about teams too. You know, sometimes it's really hard to get out of bed and go perform at the level that your fans expect you to perform. That's why this is what one coach told me when I was playing baseball in junior college. He said every major league team is going to win 60, and they're going to lose 60. And it's what happens in the other 42 games that determines whether or not you get to the playoffs. And,
yeah.
You know, we sit there and we watch it. They're not playing well. What's the deal? They look like they're sleepwalking. That's true. That's especially true for me in the Big Ten in college basketball.
Yeah.
Because the Big Ten is a rugged travel thing. And it's more so now the fact that they've got to go to the West Coast. And I know it's not an excuse or whatever.
People underestimate, and I'm not, again, I don't think it's an excuse, but it's definitely a factor. Because people don't understand how draining it is sometimes to be on those 6 hour flights and what happens to your body on a 6 hour flight or whatever, because it's never just 6 hours, right? It ends up being about a 10, 12 hour travel day. So, yeah, it does. I have had to, like, with even just my travel schedule with once a week, I have a very strict routine of like, when I get to the hotel, I chug a water bottle, I chug some electrolytes, I take my vitamins. Like, it's true. It does drain it out of you. And if I were an athlete having to play in a game the next day, that would be hard. I mean, they're young, so they can bounce back quicker. But yeah, there's definitely something to be said for that factoring in to all of this conference, you know, realignment and all the schools being all over the place. That travel is, I don't care what you say, it's not easy.
No,
your subscription stuff, but there's been several comments because that are correct. There's so many ways to find subscriptions that are connected to other things that you either already doing or really increase the value of that subscription. I hate to take that back, but there were so many comments, and considering the ticket prices, travel, gas, how much less expensive is it to view a game in your own, the convenience of your own home or whatever for that, as opposed to paying to go? So I agree. And I guess I better throw this one up. She just woke up and still a 10.
Oh, you're so sweet. I haven't had my coffee yet though, you guys. I'm So I'm going to go over and pour it while we're on the phone. I take my week
left. That is
every morning.
Coca. There you go.
A child of the 70s. Every morning, I start off with a Coke Zero and a pouch of Zen.
A Coke Zero?
Dude, yes. That used to be in the press room, a cooler that has drinks in it. We don't have it anymore, and I desperately miss it. We have Diet Coke, but I miss my Coke Zero, JD. You didn't, I guess the budget didn't allow for it anymore.
I don't know. Don't know, don't care. You know?
I get it.
Not to, well, Trisha, I have something to loan you, possibly. I've got my Bloomington North helmet that I wear coaching third. And I understand that you got
all the memories.
I understand that you went, you had to get some attention a couple weeks ago in Baltimore that you got hit. Look, I don't care. It's scary enough seeing foul balls off of high school bats. I can't even imagine what it's like. And how many near misses have you had in your life?
So many, but like so it hit me in the wrist, but like I was fine. But it was the prime example of like media companies literally all over the world sensationalizing. Like they weren't even there. They didn't know anything. We didn't even talk about it on the broadcast. I got a text from my aunt. And she's like, are you alive? Are you okay? Are you in the hospital?
I heard you were on a stretcher being taken to the hospital.
No, but like, actually, no, Jim, I'm not kidding. If you look it up, like, just Google it. The British Post wrote about it. It's like a headline. And they're like, or Yahoo, I think it was too. They were like, reporter left in agony as scary scene erupts. And I'm like, there was no scary scene erupting. No one was in agony, literally at all. And nowhere does it say that. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is why. I mean, I got texts from people I hadn't spoken to in 10 years thinking I was dead.
I can only imagine. JD, you know the old hard rubber balls that used to be used for spring practice because it was wet and all that? I remember being a manager for the varsity baseball team at Floyd Central when I was in seventh grade before I played, but because my English teacher was the coach, but they were warming up with those damn big ass hard rubber balls. And I got hit right upside the head with one. And hey, that does explain a lot. I understand that. But also, there was no media. There was no attention. All I got was, how many fingers am I holding up? Oh, you're good. You go. No, I'm just kidding. But just the other day, I forget who, but there was a major league player that a fan threw a ball towards him. I don't know with the intent, but hit him on the wrist. And apparently it has led to an injury.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. If the ball that hit me bounced, if it hadn't a bounced, yeah, my wrist would be broken. I mean, it would be shattered, but it bounced. And so I just iced it. Like, man, those things, they hurt. They can hurt, but I was fine. And it was just wild. It spread like wildfire.
JD, I've got to take a quick break.
We got to say goodbye to Trisha. She's got an appointment. So you and I get to pick up where you and Mike left off and get a little heated, you know, maybe. Who knows? We can make it up. You and I are great friends.
Is that on the baseball salary cap?
I don't care what you want it to. I don't care what you want to talk about.
You pick a side and tell me, and I'll take the other side.
Well, since I'm going to Vegas, we can also, in 2 days, we can also talk about gambling.
Oh, well, my only experience when gambling usually always ends up with a loss.
Well, no question. That.
Trisha, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, as always, to have you on. Look forward to doing it again. What is coming up next for you?
I'm going to Minneapolis for Apple TV Friday Night Baseball, Twins and Royals, and that's what's next. So I'm looking forward to it. And then I have Cincinnati in a couple weeks, so that'll be fun.
Trisha, I've got
Cincinnati.
What?
Will it be in Cincinnati?
Yes, it will be.
Trisha, I have one.
That's my team.
One place you need to go to in Minneapolis if you haven't already been is Manny's.
All right,
Manny's Steakhouse. Yeah.
Trisha Whitaker, cannot thank you enough. You can catch her everywhere, especially on Apple TV right now on Friday Night Baseball. And still the sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Just Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV and my podcast with Cindy Parrish.
That will give you a great list of content right there. Thank you so much, Trisha. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
See you guys.
Yes, ma'am. We've got more coming up here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio with J.D. Campbell. Back with all of that and more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along and glad to be with you, J.D. Campbell, along as well. And J.D., if you want something to argue about, I've got the perfect thing, as there is a piece about Mike Leach's candidacy for the College Football Hall of Fame. And the mark used to be a minimum of a 60% winning percentage.
Okay.
Finished his career at 596. The National Football Federation last year changed that 60% mark to 595, which in essence would allow him and Jackie Sherrill to get in. Now, Mike Leach, to me, he's a Hall of Famer, period. I don't care what he accomplished, his innovations, the fact that he took these teams, Washington State, Texas Tech, that stunk for decades before he got there, gave them both their first 11-win seasons. I think he took Tech to like 10 straight bowl games. So to me, that's an air raid offense. It's just a no. He's worth, just for his comments, just for his post-game pressers, I could listen to him on loop. So to me, he's a no-doubter. Jackie Sherrill had some run-ins with the NCAA, so that one's a little shakier. But then there's somebody like Howard Schnellenberger, who's not going to reach that 595 mark, I don't think, because he kept going to schools like Louisville and rejuvenate. Well, Florida was FAU.
Miami. He's responsible for that.
Yeah, Miami, and turned them into what they are.
Yeah.
And then started the FAU program, which really, there was no chance for a winning record when you start that program, and they stunk for a long time. But Howard Schnellenberger deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame, in my opinion. But he won't make it in on the requirements that are asked for today.
Well, here's what I think about Hall of Fames. I think that too many times the voters are rigid and they compare apples to plums, oranges, mangoes, or whatever. A Hall of Fame is a museum. And a Hall of Fame's responsibility,
great point,
is to tell the story of that particular entity.
Great point.
And, this is the hang up I have about Pete Rose. I think Pete absolutely unequivocally belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, you should tell his story of what he did. But to leave out the all, and again, we don't know what other players have done that we might consider to be untoward behavior. And I think, you know what? And that's okay. That's okay. Now it's really hard for anybody to get away with anything as far as something scandalous, whether it be in Hollywood, whether it be in politics, whether it be, sports. Who cares? It's a museum.
That's the best argument I've heard, period, and best describer. It really is, because that And I get the old school argument of, hey, man, this is also for the best. I get that those guys deserve to be in there. But when you are one of the best, like Pete Rose was, I mean, as a player, I don't care what he did as a manager. Put him in. He deserved to have been in as a player, period, long before he was. If you want to separate that, that's fine. But nothing that he did to get him banned had anything to do as a player. He was one of the hardest players in sports, not baseball, sports. And I loved watching Pete Rose play growing up.
Let me explain that. As a child of the 70s, I can tell you this, that there was no player emulated more in that time period than Pete Rose, because Pete Rose was a guy that everyone said, well, he's not talented, but boy, he plays hard. Boy, he hustles. He does this, he does that. Every team that I ever competed against between Little League and college from 1973 through 85 had a Pete Rose type guy whose job was to get under your skin and do whatever it takes to help your team win. And yes, it was Pete flawed as an individual? Absolutely. But a lot of people that are involved in sports, in college, those who coach, those who play, we've seen the character flaws come out, unfortunately. But that doesn't take away from what they accomplish on the field. And a Hall of Fame, especially a sports Hall of Fame, should be about your contribution and impact on the game. Because, again, everything is different. In the 60s, guys stayed on the same team, rarely got traded. And now you have very good players that sometimes go through a career with three or four teams. It's evolved. Everything's evolved. Television has evolved. Sports is involved. You know, look, I'm coaching 14 and 15-year-olds, and they're different than 14 and 15-year-olds were 15 years ago. You know, I mean, the things that kids are into today, you know, it's like a sound bite. They want to see. I said, hey, do you ever watch MLB? And guys will say, no, but I see the highlights on YouTube. And I'm like, that unfortunately doesn't tell you. I mean, you and I probably both listen to baseball games on the radio. You probably listen to Marty Brenneman, even if you're old enough, Al Michaels. You know, a lot of people don't remember that Al Michaels was with the Reds for a lot of years. He and Nuxie. And you just can't. There were nights that I would sit back, turn my transistor radio on, and listen to Vin Scully until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, it's different. It's really, I want to tell you something that I did this morning. I was looking up on NCAA.com.
I lost my mic for a second. Now I'm back.
There you go. You'll love this, Jim. You'll love this because this was right when I was in college, 1984. I was watching highlights. First off, do you know who the all-time leading home run hitter is in college baseball?
College baseball? Man. No. If I had to guess, I would guess somebody from Ole Miss.
No, it was Pete Incaviglia. You remember him?
Yeah.
The slugger? Okay. They were at the College World Series 83, 84, 85. And he mashed balls. He was the best player. No, Barry Bonds was the best player I ever played against. Incaviglia and Palmeiro were also on the same team that we faced out in Hutchinson, Kansas. But they had him do an interview on ESPN talking about his career. And, dude, he had a wad of red man in his cheek while doing that interview. And you know what? I don't think anybody cared back then. Now, that would never, never happen. But, again, societal norms change, and with that, you've got to either evolve or die. Because the life is always going to change every day, every second. And you know, I think with the Hall of Fames, like I say, Jeff Kent gets in the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, I didn't like him as a player. My guy was Dale Murphy. How is Dale Murphy not in the Hall of Fame? A two-time MVP back-to-back and the best player on a team that was not...
How many Hall of Famers were on that team?
Well...
Sometimes that's a problem. You get buried behind other Hall... I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be in, but that... Boy, a lot of talent. Just like the daggone Braves have right now, best team in baseball.
Well, yeah, but you know, you were talking about, you brought up salary cap, and I don't know where you stand on that. I don't
particularly care, but because I don't follow it enough, but you know, talking to Mike DeCourcy about it all the time, and our end of our conversation, which we'll pick up next week, he said he's ready to revisit that because it seems to be impacting baseball, which tells me also, okay, if the final sports league that doesn't have a salary cap is really being impacted that way, college has to get on this now instead of waiting, but it's not going to happen. But how do you have a salary cap for players when you don't have one for managers or therefore coaches in college football, et cetera, back and forth?
Well, look what's going on in a lot of places, or I think the trend is starting. Name five NBA coaches. Name,
you know what?
Who's the manager of the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins? What organizations are doing, and I think colleges are soon going to follow this, the multi-million dollar salaries are not going to go to the coaching staff. They're going to go to the players unless they get their hands around this absolute abomination that it has an infected college. Because, and again, I think Mike said this, you know what? You got to be proactive, not reactive. And the whole NIL thing was really reactive, and everybody's paying for it now.
And well, it's been reactive since Mark Emmert kept pushing this off for years and years and years and years and years. And then it was like, he was the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike, keeping the dam from just exploding, and boom, that finger got pulled out and the dam has just erupted and it's still flowing.
You know, we were concerned about NIL, I think as far back as 2016. And one of the things that we did, you know, we used to do a
very large... Well, the SEC already had it at that time.
Huh?
The SEC already had NIL that time. They just
there's a lot of paying players in college athletics. Come on.
Absolutely. It just crosses all boundaries. But we all know that the SEC had made, they were professionals at it.
Well, there were a lot of schools that are professionals, and some were in the Big Ten too. So don't cast too much of a net. Everybody likes to pound on the SEC, and that's great, but there's a lot of schools. Probably the school that has the most national championships in college basketball was one of the biggest all time.
You know what's funny that you say that? Because yesterday when it came out that Kentucky had landed Momcilovic from the transfer from Iowa State, the best player in the portal to go into the portal, and they end up getting him here at last minute kind of a thing, which they desperately needed. But I saw that Louisville was one of the teams that they beat out. And, of course, they used to be coached by Denny Crum, who was an assistant to
John Wooden,
who built his championships. I'm not saying he wasn't a good or great coach, but let's be honest, his championships were built by a guy named
Sam Gilbert.
But, and that was known.
Well, yeah, it was known. In fact, they were so mad at UCLA that they put Cleveland State on 8 years probation, as my guy Tark said.
Yeah.
You know, but besides that, I mean, you've got to really look into.
And that's a reason why Bob Knight had no respect or little respect for John Wooden.
But, you know, he really did like Jerry Tarkanian. I don't know if you knew that. Tark would call out people's hypocrisy. And he was a longtime enemy of the NCAA. And again, the way that organization was run at that time by Walter Byers. And again, we can sit and look at pointing fingers at everybody, but the people that end up being impacted by this most of all is the fans, because they're not going to, the colleges aren't going to stop spending. And they're going to do whatever they can. Right now, we're in a period of revenue generation over everything.
Yep. Let me take a quick break. Our last break of the day. JD Campbell with us. We're getting into deep talk here. Got lots more coming up. Appreciate you being with us. Jim Coyle back with more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Tuesday. JD Campbell with me, and we're talking about the world of college athletics right now and the money. And I you weren't on with us just yet when I played a clip from Kurt Cignetti from Huber's last week, and he was asked a few times about the money situation, and he was, you know, it's like, man, that's conference stuff. I stay out of that and all of that. And then I asked him about recruiting, how recruiting was going, and he talked about it. Then he quickly turned in, but it's getting expensive and something's going to have to be done about it, or colleges are not going to be able to continue to do this here in a few years. And so he really answered that question. It's impacting especially a program like Indiana, who has found success without being the biggest spender, although they are spending more money now, of course, but they're not spending what Michigan or Ohio State or probably Penn State are. And they don't want to. They want to find this niche where they can still compete, but not have to outspend people to do so.
Well, when was the last time the Yankees won the World Series?
Look at the Mets.
Look at the Lakers. You know, teams that you think would be spending, a lot of money and have a lot of resources. The mentality of that, you're not going to fill up a big pot of gold and think, all right, now we've spent all this money, we should win. We've seen that. We saw it at Indiana, that people with, the last team that Coach Woody had, people, again, when you know what you're spending on players, and I think for the most part now, people kind of have an idea, you can't sit and enjoy the competition as much because you're going to get frustrated. You get frustrated if a team doesn't play well. You get frustrated if your team has a bunch of injuries, which can change the outcome of any season. And you get frustrated because these guys, people in college, guys and girls, are making life-changing money when the majority of people who either went to college came away with a lot of debt and student loans. I will argue with you, there isn't an athlete that comes into college sports that deserves, again, I'm not saying they don't deserve revenue. They do. But are you, what is generating the revenue? Is it the name on the back or the name on the front? It doesn't matter who plays for Ohio State football. They're still going to have 100,000 people at the stadium.
And their TV ratings are still going to be extraordinarily high.
Look, even when we were not having a great year.
Great point. That's two. You've been, boy, spot on today, JD.
Well, you know, like I say, I'm going home in 2 days. And
he's ready, baby.
Going to be with my son and my brother and different things. And the Stanley Cup is going to be there while I'm there. And I'm staying at the hotel in the T-Mobile parking lot. Park MGM.
He's got it all.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to eat.
So when do you head out? You leave in 2 days?
Thursday. Yeah, a lot of people I get to catch up with in addition to getting, recognized by our organization and for my career.
Well, you're getting your award, right?
Yeah, they're going to give me a leg lamp. A leg lamp that lights up like Christmas. That's all I want.
Wouldn't that be cool? Award. I mean, that would be the coolest trophy because everything else is just a little plaque or something. That would be great.
I think the Oscars should change from that little gold statue to a leg lamp.
I love it. I agree. JD Campbell, appreciate you, my friend. It was a fun day as always. Have safe travels. Las Vegas. JD Campbell, appreciate each and every one of you as well. Thanks, JD. Safe travels. Make sure you go out and have yourselves a great day. Thanks to Trisha Whitaker and Mike DeCourcy as well. We're back tomorrow to do this again. Until tomorrow, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.